C and D, I have B and C.
Well, one of my numbers is sort of cut off. Maybe it is B and C.
Okay, if you look at hand engrossed B. Members of the committee, hand engrossed B would indicate that that conduct preceding it would be mandatory for the court to consider that conduct if and only if it is shown that those factors are causing or may cause emotional or physical damage to the child. That is akin in the language to leaving the original printed bill the way it was, but making it more specific, making the intent of it clearer. Representative Baumann, is that correct?
That's acceptable to me. I mean, I think that's...
Well, I'm just trying to get the English straight before I find out if it's acceptable. Is that a correct interpretation?
Chair, did Representative Baumann draft these?
No. I talked to Mr. Gruber between revenue and on my way to the floor of the House. It was at my request.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Baumann.
The object is to clarify the purpose of the word only in the original statute. Is that correct?
That is correct. And C would be the alternative that would make clearer the deletion of only. Counsel, am I saying that correctly?
Well, I believe the intention in these two options was to set out two options to see what the subcommittee's sense was on this.
That is correct.
The C version incorporates the deletion of only, and then by adding this sentence that specifically says what the court may do if it is not shown that any of the factors cause emotional or physical damage to the child, it was thought that that would clarify what may have been an ambiguity. I should also point out that you have some hand engrossed that reflect the dash two amendments, which are the amendments that we adopted, which is just the deletion of only.
Correct.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Baumann, one moment. Representative Dix, did you have a comment?
Well, the purpose of my removing the only, and I've stated this before, is I want the best interest of the child to be considered, period. I don't care about the parents, their lifestyle, or anything else. If it does not, and Representative Baumann, you have every opportunity to comment, but if it does not damage the child emotionally or physically, I agree it shouldn't be brought up. But I was told that by removing this by no one on this committee, but I was told by removing this, it would give the judge the opportunity to consider that more than they have right now. And that's why I voted to remove the word. Now, if there's another way we can do that, that's fine. But that's where I'm at on the bill. So I want the child to come first, not the parents, not the considerations of the parents. I'm more interested in the child than I am the parents in this particular issue. So, and if we have a difference of point of view, that's fine. But that is truly where I'm coming from on this.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Baumann.
I appreciate the concerns in it. So this is a fairly technical discussion that we've ended up having. And I think the object of the discussion, Representative Dix, I agree with you on. The point is there is a continuum, or there's a vast variety of conduct, marital status, income, social, environment, lifestyle, that do not cause or have any risk of causing emotional or physical damage to the child. Those could be brought up, and I think the potential of bringing them up may be somewhat greater if the word only isn't in there. But I also think if the word only were taken out and we established clearly, this would only come up in litigation, that this was not meant to make it easier to bring irrelevant material into the discussion of the best welfare of the child, that I would have no qualms about taking the word only out. I felt somewhat vindicated by the umbrella example that we heard the other day from Frank Gruber, and I'm not sure that I can even repeat it. It was a very visual description of how the word only might, in some very technical, logical application, enable a court to keep irrelevant material out. I really think that this might be a tempest in a teapot, but what I'm letting you know, Representative Dix, is have we already removed that word?
It is. The bill is before us without the word only at line 18. That's the present status of the bill in subcommittee.
Representative Dix, Mr. Chair, may I ask one question of
Representative Dix?
Would you be satisfied, Representative Dix, with the language on B, which puts the word only back in on line 18 and qualifies, or I suppose makes more specific what we mean by saying if and only if it is shown that these factors are causing or may cause emotional or physical damage?
I think that's worse than having the word only in. I think that provides more emphasis to the court with regard to being able to determine whether or not this is emotional or physical, or being able to get into the process of determining whether it's emotional or physical damage. I think that word is a bellwether word to the court, and people that practice in domestic relations tell me that that word provides emphasis as to whether or not it, when you say only, it provides emphasis to the rest of the sentence. In other words, without the word, it reads, if it is shown that blah, 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 blah. Now, Frank raised a legitimate point perhaps yesterday with the umbrella argument, but I think my point is just as legitimate, that on the other side of the equation, it provides emphasis to the rest of the sentence. By putting if and only if, it's worse than having just the word only in there.
Chairman? Yeah, Representative Miller.
It's my understanding that the Dash 4 amendments as proposed by Representative Bunn and spoken to by Ira merely seek to amend the bill in its present form as we have already amended it. Is that correct?
That's correct. I don't think they affect lines 18 and 19 and the versions B and C then would affect 18 and 19.
So Dash 4.
Bunn's amendments affect other lines in the printed bill.
Well, in the bill as we've amended it, in other words, the Bunn amendments would also exclude the word only on line 18. Is that correct? That's your understanding?
Bunn amendments have nothing to do with line 18. Nothing to do at all.
But they would not affect the changes we have already made.
That's correct.
Okay. I'd like to make a comment that I don't think anyone here, nor would the court, be interested in irrelevant information. I wouldn't suggest that the information that might be allowed in here would necessarily be less than relevant. And for that reason, I'd like to move the dash four amendments.
Didn't we do that?
We have explained the dash four amendments. I'm not ready to place that motion until we deal with lines 18 and 19. And
well, the dash four does that.
Dash four has nothing to do with lines 18 and 19.
It solidifies the change we made. I guess that's dealing with it in a positive way.
I understand what you're saying, Representative Miller, but let's deal with lines 18 and 19 first.
Mr. Chair, I might give the coalition's position is that it has no objection to having relevant material considered, and if the removal of only is accompanied by history that the Representative Bauman spoke of, that there must still be a nexus between showing that that sort of information, that sort of conduct is may be detrimental or is detrimental to the child. We feel that there's strong enough emphasis on those things to exclude it if it is not detrimental, and that it is an acceptable change.
Let me, from the chair's position, I did, you know, let me go back to it and describe my conversation. It was at my request that B and C were prepared. B and C were meant to lay out the options. B was, if you look at B, B was to clarify the amendment so that the bill as originally passed by the Senate would be the law. C was to go the opposite direction and to say that even if it was not shown that any of this conduct was causing or may cause emotional or physical damage, the court might consider those factors if the court found them relevant to the best interest and welfare of the child. B and C were meant to lay out two separate options for the committee, with the intent that we'd move one way or the other rather than get into the mess that we got into when this bill was up at full committee. Representative Miller, I understand that you perhaps differ with me there because you think the C option doesn't do that.
Mr. Chair, I still like the dash four amendments. I think it's...
But we understand.
It's clean and it's clear.
Representative Miller, one moment. You're doing apples and oranges on me, or cherries and apricots. There are three options that we're talking about then on lines 18 and 19. They have nothing to do with the dash four amendments. Number one option would be to leave the bill as it is in this subcommittee with the word only deleted at line 18.
That's my
number question. Two option would be the B amendments, and number three option would be the C amendments. I consider dash four a separate thing in the bill. So let's clarify where we're going. Let's deal with lines 18 and 19 first.
If you like my impression, I'm interested in deleting the word only.
It is.
Okay,
yes,
and keeping that as is, as we've already done, and adding no other language.
Okay. In dealing with line 18 and 19, we have three options, two of which would require a motion. Do I hear any motions on lines 18 and 19?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dix.
I have another motion. Why don't we reinsert the word we took out? I'll support that motion, and it's too important in a bill for this to be haggled over and move it to full committee. So I would move that the word we took out only, and I know members will be unhappy and they have their opportunities to move on to go in other fashions.
Representative Dix moves that we restore the word only on line 18. Is there further discussion?
Just a question for Ira. Ira, don't judges pretty much do whatever they want in domestic relations law?
I would say, as I said before, that it's quite fluid.
Yeah, thanks. So it really doesn't matter what we do here.
In most instances, I think that is correct.
And I'll place the motion. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, Gloria, will you call the roll?
Aye.
No.
Aye.
No.
Aye. Motion is adopted.
Mr. Chair, I would move the bill to full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Representative Miller, did you have a motion?
No.
On the dash four amendments?
No.
Representative Dix?
I would move the dash four amendments.
Representative Dix moves the dash four amendments, and I'll place that motion. Is there further discussion?
Only briefly.
I'm sorry. Representative Baumann.
I remember Representative Bunn's objections, and I penciled in the language from line four of the proposed amendments, and I'm concerned that what we do is not resolve the question that Representative Bunn had, which was whether this was going to open up these hearings to something that would resemble the fault system of a divorce. And I think that it weakens the object of the bill, which is that abuse is contrary to the best interests of the child. So I will vote no on the amendments.
Go ahead.
Would you do that for me again? Representative Baumann, I just want to make sure that I understand.
Penciling in D after between lines 10 and 11, that the court may consider the following relevant factors in determining the best interests and welfare of the child: emotional ties, interests of the party, desirability of continuing an existing relationship, and D, the abuse of one parent by the other, I think weakens the intent of the bill, which I think is really important. I'm delighted that the committee is getting around to discussing that. I think it's much more strongly put on lines 20 and 21, and I don't think that I appreciate and think it's valid that Representative Bunn's concern has to do with the difference between fault and no fault dissolution. However, best interests of the child, I think, is an overwhelming interest, and I would like to see this bill go through the system as strongly written as it was in the A. and Gross Senate bill. So I will oppose the amendment.
Let me make sure I placed the amendment correctly. Dash 4 is the motion moved by Representative Dix, except that at line 6, the first number should read 22 rather than number 5. Ira, on behalf of the main requestor of the bill, are you in support of the Bunn Amendment?
We are in support of the Bunn Amendment. Our position is that we want to make certain that judges hear that evidence. There are certain places in this state where those judges do not hear that evidence, and we feel that adding this language will make certain that it's heard. It is a moderately isolated problem. There are three or four counties where this occurs. Where they are forced to hear the evidence, we trust that they will weigh it and evaluate it. And we do support it for that reason and think that it's important to get to make the legislature to make a clear statement that this is relevant considerations.
Thank you. Is there further discussion on the Dash 4 amendment? Hearing none, will you call the roll, please?
No.
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Aye. Motion is adopted. The chair will move Senate Bill 471 as amended to the full committee with a due pass. Further discussion? Hearing none, will you call the roll, please?
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion is adopted. Representative Dix, do you want to carry that?
Sure.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Miller.
Having voted on the prevailing side, I serve notice of possible reconsideration of Senate Bill 471.
Representative Miller.
Yes.
I'll reserve ruling on that and double-check subcommittee rules before ruling on whether or not that's appropriate at this point.
Have they been changed recently?
No.
Good.
Mr. Chair, for the record, one comment.
Representative Bauman.
I realize it's a point of personal privilege for Representative Miller to place that motion. I would ask as a courtesy that Representative Miller attend the committee hearing that will be held Friday night to advise the committee in person whether he intends to move or not for reconsideration as a courtesy to the other members of the committee.
I suspect if I move that, Representative Bauman, I would be here.
Whether you do or not, Representative Miller, I'm asking as a courtesy to the other members of the committee who will be here.
If a meeting's scheduled, I suspect you'll have some notice.
We'll close the work session on 471 and open it on Senate Bill 783. Council?
The Senate Bill 783 modifies guardianship and conservatorship proceedings, particularly for incapacitated persons. It expands the definition of incapacitated person and the definition of visitor. It sets out the contents of the visitor's report. It establishes as the standard of evidence clear and convincing before you can have a guardian appointed. It also provides that notice has to be served on the alleged incapacitated person, setting out that person's rights. We have, you should have in your packets, some amendments, 783A-2. The amendments reduce the notice period from the bill from 30 to 15 days. 15 days is still 5 days longer than what is currently the law. The amendments also require that the notice be in at least 12-point type. That's to assure that it's large, easy for older people to read. It also expands the rights that have to be listed on the notice, and it deletes the sections that deal with conservatorships.
Committee members,
yeah.
Discussions.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Who's the proposer of these amendments?
These amendments, as I understand, were a compromise that was worked out with the bar, and let me find a notice. Holly, you like to?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bellamy, answer your question. For the record, my name is Holly Robinson. I'm here on behalf of the Association for Retired Citizens of Oregon and the Oregon Advocacy Center. The amendments were reached last week. There were certain members of the estate planning section of the Oregon State Bar which were concerned about the impact of the bill on guardianship, or on conservatorship, excuse me. And so since the proponents of the bill itself were particularly concerned about modifications of the guardianship law, what we did was delete as many references to conservatorships as we could to address their concerns.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Representative Bellamy.
What was their concern about the 30-day notice instead of going from 30 back to 15?
They felt that 30 days was sometimes was too long of a time period to respond if there was some sort of crisis or some sort of protective service intervention that was necessary. The problem that exists in Oregon right now as far as guardianship and conservatorship is concerned is that regardless of what your notice period is, you cannot, if you have some sort of crisis, whether it's financial or otherwise, you don't have any good protective service tools that allow you to intervene quickly. So they were concerned that 30 days was too long to respond. We felt that as a policy matter, 10 days wasn't long enough. And so we compromised on 15 days. So we should have 2 working weeks as an attorney to respond if the petition is filed. It's very, very difficult, I mean, from a judge's perspective, to get a notice on Tuesday and all of a sudden realize that you're going to court on Wednesday and have to file your objections. But we were also cognizant of the fact that sometimes crises arise. Individuals need to be discharged from hospitals, other things
have to
happen, and
we
need to be.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Now, I would assume that part of the last part of that in Section 8 would take care, was also designed to take care of the emergency.
Section 8 as amended?
Yes.
What Section 8 does is this. If you look at the original version of the bill, what we were doing was we wanted to repeal the entire waiver section, which would have established that nobody could waive any notice. It was felt that if an individual was getting a conservatorship, that person ought to be able to waive. So what Section 8 does, the new Section 8 does, says that any person who's entitled to notice, with the exception of if the person is going to be getting a guardian, can waive. So in an emergency conservatorship, you would be able to intervene quickly. In an emergency guardianship situation, your remedy would be to get a temporary guardianship. And this law or this bill in no way impacts temporary guardianships.
Yeah. Representative Bellamy.
Going back to the 30 days, what would be wrong with saying that it would be 30 days after the mailing or personal service of a notice unless the court declared that emergency existed, and let the court establish that there is an emergency and they will allow the provisions to go in effect?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bellamy. As the original proponent of 30 days, I can appreciate what you're saying. The problem is that procedurally and practically, it's not always easy to get into court to get a judge to make that determination. And so I think to rely on a probate judge to declare whether or not there's an emergency or not is not necessarily good policy.
Within that time period?
Within that initial time period, unless you wanted a temporary guardianship procedures.
Which would entail extra court time and probably extra expense.
For which?
For temporary pending the adoption of a guardianship order.
But there are already provisions for temporary guardianships and also certain types of temporary conservatorship orders. So you can go in now and get some sort of emergency something if you need to.
Representative Bellamy.
In that case, normally the person that's going to object or file written objections to the petition is going to be the individual themselves or another friend or relative, right?
In my experience, that's correct.
And I just find that 10 days and 15 days is a very short period of time. You get somebody that they're wanting to file or declare that they're incapacitated. They're obviously probably not thinking real clear at that point, and 10 days or even 15 days seems to be a short period of time. I am much more comfortable with going back to 30 days.
Let me ask a question. Ali, is there any reason that line 8 of the Dash 2 amendments cannot be deleted without affecting the rest of the amendment?
No. I think you could take it out.
Representative Bellamy?
Representative Bell.
If I can answer this question just for a second in terms of how these came about. Since we have reinserted the ability of a person who's getting a conservator to waive notice and let that process go through, then, I mean, I have to say personally, I agree with you. But I think we've also, since we've reinserted the ability of the conservatorships to go more smoothly and let the person waive and consent, then that then the notice really applies more, will apply more often to a guardianship situation, and more appropriately so, I think.
Representative Bellman, do you move the dash two amendments excluding line 8?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chair.
And I'll place that motion. Is there discussion? Is there objection to that motion? So ordered. Jill?
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 783 as amended to the full committee.
With a due pass, and I'll place that motion. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, Gloria, we call the roll.
Bellman?
Aye.
Bellman?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.